Hunter Blair, welcome to Cable.
Thanks for having me.
Hunter Blair is a budget analyst at the Economic Policy Institute, the EPI, in Washington, D.C., a progressive think tank. It publishes every 2 years the book, The State of Working America. It's also free on the web, a dismal story of pain for working people, few good years, not many. Among many other of EPI's reports and policy proposals, they are aimed at improving the lives of the great majority of people who live in this country and, in fact, around the world. Hunter Blair, along with some colleagues, has been assigned to evaluate the Republican proposals for what Donald Trump describes as the greatest tax reform in history. Hunter, I've read quite a few of your almost daily reports that assess many of the specific provisions of the tax plan. I gathered you disagree with this self-described smartest man on earth. Tell us why.
Yeah, what it is certainly one of the greatest tax cuts for the rich and big corporations in history. But as far as their claims for benefiting the middle class or working families, we don't see any of that in this bill.
Tell us about the specific provisions and what they do. You know, there is going to be a tax cut for the middle class, they say.
Yeah, so in the initial years, there are some crumbs sort of thrown at the middle class, but then those are clawed back, and eventually there are actually tax increases in the Senate version of the bill, while the tax cuts for the big corporations remain permanent in the bill. At the end of the day, 62% of the benefits of the Senate version of this bill go to the top 1%.
62%. Remind us of the specific cuts that are being made, like eliminating the alternative minimum tax and the estate tax, which will apparently save especially real estate developers and especially Donald Trump. And maybe his savings could be as close to $1 billion over a 10-year period.
Yeah. In the Senate version, they doubled the exemption level for the estate tax. The estate tax currently exempts $5.5 million per person, so that's $11 million for a married couple. They're going to double that in the Senate version. In the House version, they eventually repeal all of the estate tax. And the estate tax only hits the top 0.2% of the wealthiest estates. So this is a massive giveaway to the rich.
And also the corporate income taxes not only being brought down to a actually more reasonable figure, but they've set it up so that almost all companies will never pay the maximum. They're moving towards also expanding the tax break to almost all rich people will be paying much less taxes than the official rate. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the corporate tax cut, they're cutting it from 35% to 20%. Corporate taxes largely fall on rich shareholders and capital income in general, and so this is a massive giveaway to the top in and of itself. But then also, they've done something which, in the jargon, it's referred to as moving to territorial taxation. But what it really means is that the offshore profits of these big corporations is no longer going to be taxed in the U.S., and so this is going to incentivize even more offshoring of profits and jobs.
And what about the sort of pass-through provision that in Kansas there was an expansion of the, quote, pass-through provision, and it turned out that the two highest-paid public servants in Kansas, that is the football coach and the basketball coach, at about $5 million a year, I guess, they decided to become corporations so that they could, in fact, save themselves huge amounts of money. And it looks like Kansas is going to become the United States. Every football coach, the big types, the CEO football coaches, they'll also become corporations and save themselves a huge amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So pass-throughs are companies that don't pay any income tax at the business level, like a corporation would. Instead, the income is just profits from that company are just passed through to the owners of the company. And so what Kansas did was they cut the state tax to zero on these type of pass-through entities. And so what the House tax bill is doing is it would, instead of paying the top individual income tax rate, pass-through owners would only be subject to, I think it's a 25% rate. And so, like you say, in Kansas, this ended up with the head football coach and the head basketball coach calling themselves pass-throughs so that they could get a lower tax rate on their income. And if the House version of this bill, if the House version of that proposal in particular is passed, then there's going to be a cottage industry of lawyers and accountants that are going to get around anything that they put in the law to stop it, because it's such a big income wedge. And so you're going to have all sorts of very rich individuals that will no longer pay the top tax rate. They'll pay whatever this supposed new pass-through tax rate is.
Right, which will likely be lower than the tax rate for sort of average income people. It could well be that the rich, because they can hire these lawyers and do all of that, the shenanigans, will pay a lower percentage of their tax rate, depending on exactly where they set this pass-through, the percent of...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they will do that. There are so many provisions in the bills, and there are other things that they're doing, like in reading your materials, I know the EPI materials, I noticed there's a proposal from the Labor Department to make sure that tips, that gratuities that used to go to the waiters and waitresses and other tip people, it would be the owner of the restaurant who could claim them.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of incredible that they're passing that at the exact same time that they're ramming through this huge corporate giveaway at the expense of people that rely on Medicaid and Medicare, all sorts of programs.
It's quite amazing. They're going to make a lot of enemies, it seems to me, but we'll be talking about that. This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour on KABU Radio. I'm talking to Hunter Blair of the EPI, the Economic Policy Institute, a progressive think tank. His current assignment is to evaluate the Trump Republican tax plan. The tax plan is going to enrich the rich. They're going to use it, even if the middle class tax cut was real, and it isn't, they're going to use now the $1 trillion or $2 trillion expansion of the deficit, the deficit's expanding. Paul Ryan has said this on conference yesterday. I mean, what a gaffe and a mistake by him. He said the next thing on the Republican agenda is to get control of entitlements and cut them. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think we've seen this play out time and time before. Republicans cut taxes and then come back and try to leverage the deficits that result from those taxes to claim that we absolutely have to gut Medicaid and Medicare and education and public investments. And like you said, I mean, Paul Ryan admitted that this is the plan, that next year they're coming for Medicaid and Medicare. And the Republican budget itself sort of gives the game away. Medicaid gets cut by $1.3 trillion and Medicare gets cut by $0.5 trillion.
Well, this is their budget proposal. Their tax proposal is to give away money to the rich. Their budget proposal, even this time around, is to cut, quote, entitlement programs. That is the programs that, in fact, supplement older people's income, poor kids, medical care. None of that is of interest to these, I'm not sure what you would call them, monsters. But maybe they actually believe their rhetoric, and let's talk about that. They claim that all these tax cuts are going to lead to a great economic boom, high employment, high productivity. America is going to become the greatest again. What's the real story of what happens after these tax cuts?
There's no evidence that corporate tax cuts are going to trickle down to workers. You could look across international comparisons, recent American economic history, compare individual U.S. states, and you don't find evidence that corporate tax cuts are going to boost the wages of American workers.
Yeah, I mean, that experiment has been tried time and time again. What companies do, they don't invest because they have a lot of money. They'll either give it back to the rich shareholders or they put it into casino capitalism, that is, hedge funds and the rest, various kinds of new and more lucrative financial paper that Salomon Brothers and all the others create for them so they can get 4 or 5 or 8% on their money. And they just make more and more money. But there's no reason to produce more of almost anything because everything's in great surplus right now. Two-thirds of the world is too poor, actually, even to begin to provide the demand in this economy that they've created. They're not going to invest. It doesn't make any sense for them to actually invest in production.
Yeah, we already have what this corporate tax is supposed to engineer. The way the corporate tax cut is supposed to trickle down to workers is you get higher after-tax profits, and this boosts investment. It increases savings, which lowers interest rates, and eventually you get higher productivity, which trickles down to workers. But we already have near record high after-tax corporate profits. We have extraordinarily low interest rates, and yet over this business cycle, investment has been weak. And so doing more of the same isn't going to fix anything. And we know that CEOs are already saying that these corporate tax cuts are getting shoveled to shareholders, not workers.
This is Cable Radio, Bill Resnick talking to Hunter Blair of the Economic Policy Institute about the Republican tax plan. It's really quite disastrous, and in fact, it could actually destroy the economy that they claim they're going to boost, because the continuous fall in income for the majority of people, it seems to me, just reduces effective demand, and ultimately we begin cascading into deflation and deep depression. That seems to me a possibility, if they get away with what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we've had decades of wage stagnation for the vast majority of workers, and it solves no economic problem faced by this economy at all to just continue to cut taxes for the rich and big corporations.
It seems to me that a lot of corporations were allegedly productive. They're all in the finance industry because they all have these big pools of money, and they have financial experts working for them, like even the college endowments and the rest of those things. They manage their money in order to get like 8% or 10%. It makes no sense to produce anything if you can make 8% or 10% on your hedge fund money. But is that right?
Okay. Yeah, finance has ballooned as a share of the economy. It contributes to rising inequality. It has sparked, obviously, major crises very recently. And despite how much it's ballooned in the economy, it, as a share of the economy, a lot of the trades are totally unproductive. And that makes a financial transaction tax vital to progressive tax reform.
Hunter Blair, the Economic Policy Institute, let's switch gears. Taxes are important. Taxes provide the resources for doing things that are necessary. Why don't we go through fairly briefly the Congressional Progressive Caucus proposal, the Black Caucus proposal, much of the Sanders proposal. It would be easy to raise quite considerable sums of money to do things that we really need. Why don't you specify both the proposed tax changes and the things that this country and the planet so desperately need right now?
Yeah, I would say that a progressive version of tax reform would honestly basically be the exact opposite of what we're seeing. Instead of gutting Medicaid and Medicare to pay for tax cuts for the rich and big corporations, we should be instituting higher and more tax rates further up the income distribution. We should be raising more revenue from the corporate sector, and we should be making the rates on earned and unearned income equal to each other, a big part of which involves actually raising more revenue from the corporate sector.
And things like the financial transaction tax, which would be very small but still raise large amounts of money, but would also decrease the vast amount of speculation and churning by which very well-placed people with extremely fast computers can just basically take things out of the economy by playing changes that they know is happening very, very rapidly to what essentially what is tax everybody else just through high-capacity computers.
Yeah, that's right. And FTT is an incredibly important progressive tax tool. It would clamp down on unproductive trading, and it would stop the socially inefficient redistribution we've seen to the financial sector.
It's really immense how much of the U.S. surplus goes to absolutely unproductive people who just game the economy. And it becomes worse and worse over the years. And the Republicans are sort of expanding that in so many ways that we can't list. Let's just talk for a second about what it would pay for and what our real needs are, for example, in reducing greenhouse gas emissions and saving the planet, something small like that. But there's so many needs, right? Infrastructure is falling apart. Why don't you list them?
We can pay for needed public investments. We can pay to expand Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, expand infrastructure. And one thing that should be crucial to a progressive tax reform would be a robust carbon tax that can really combat climate change by reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Especially if the money used is partly distributed to the poor or to the bottom 50%, but partly for building public transport, changing urban patterns, creating an energy system that's a distributed energy system, rather than the extremely expensive and unreliable energy system that we are moving into, especially in an era of climate change. There's so much to be done. Hunter, you're the talent. Comment on whatever you think is important and we'll sign off.
We know carbon taxes are on their own regressive, and so part of a carbon tax in a progressive tax reform should be rebated to low and moderate income households, and then the rest should really be used to make green investments that we need to combat climate change.
There's a lot to be done, and it would employ millions of people in really decent, productive, contributory jobs. What can be better? But the Republicans think the finance industry has to be further fed. Well, Hunter, it gets more interesting all the time. So, Hunter Blair, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
Right. So long.